About maybe 16 years ago, I was involved in a very fatal car accident where I don't even know how I survived. I was driving drunk and I hit a boulder. My car was smashed. They couldn't find the car because there was so much gravel and so many rocks over it. And then finally, they just saw fingers with blood, and they knew that that was me. They tried to pump life into me, and they rushed me to the nearest hospital. And they put me on life support. I was completely unconscious. I didn't know where I was. I just remember being in a white room with two archangels. He's got a divine mission. He hasn't yet fulfilled his purpose. We gotta send him back. The doctor, I just heard the doctor said, "Oh my God, this man is a miracle."
Right now on Higher Journeys with Alexis Brooks. Welcome everyone to Higher Journeys with Alexis Brooks. Of course, I am Alexis Brooks, your host, back again with another brand new episode with a brand new guest that I'm so delighted to share with you today. His name is Ishmael Perez, and he's quite the phenomenon these days. Ishmael, I'm seeing you all over the place, man, talking about a lot of things at a very critical time, no doubt. But today, I want to welcome Ishmael for the first time to talk about something that I don't know how much you have shared with your audience, as well as the larger community that take in this content these days. But I want to get into your near-death experiences, Ishmael, because you said you've had a couple. And I think they may fit into the larger sort of picture of what you represent in terms of your understanding our own ascension or awakening as a planet. And so if we can kind of weave those couple of things in, I think that would be great. But without me going any further, let me first say welcome and thank you for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be here, Alexis. Thank you for having me here.
Pleasure's mine. Well, let's start with this before we dive right into your stories, because there's more than one NDE we're talking about here. I want to make mention of a book that you wrote that's doing quite well. I understand it's become an international bestseller, called Our Cosmic Origin. Our Cosmic Origin. And I'm sure some of you watching or listening out there may have read the book, but what was the impetus for your writing a book like this at this time? It's been a couple of years, I think, right? 2021, was it?
I published it in 2021. Yes, it's been about 3 years now since it's been out. And the impetus behind this, what propelled me to write this book, was the cosmic and intergalactic communities are pushing for disclosure. They're pushing to reinstate the Earth back into the galactic community, because the Earth has been quarantined for thousands of years. And so they were telling me that it is time that people understand the bigger picture, the galactic history, that there's more to life than what they present in school. And so the whole purpose of writing this book was to shed light on the bigger picture, the extraterrestrial races, the history of the galaxy, the organization of the multiverse, because we're dealing with more than one universe. And of course, I put it into perspective, still validating the concept that there is some sort of a universal architect that many call God, that the extraterrestrials call the one infinite creator. So the whole purpose of writing that book is to get people ready for cosmic citizenship, which we are almost there, by the way. We are almost there. And that explains all the sightings and everything, that has been going on. And of course, the government doesn't want people to know the truth, so they're going to do everything in their power to suppress it. But it's inevitable. I think the Great Awakening is happening at such an increasing rate that it's impossible to conceal this information from the general public. And of course, we've been seeing it, in soft disclosure in movies like The Avengers and, sci-fi movies and stuff. But that's all part of preparing the mass consciousness of humanity in preparation for first contact, which is imminent. It's imminent.
We know that a lot of activity has taken place, particularly since about last June, having to do with more or less of a formal whistleblower testimonies, plural, not the least of which coming from a Mr. David Charles Grush. And so it goes. But, Ishmael, since we're on the subject, we might as well stay here for a few minutes before we dive deep into the NDE side. When you say the governments, and I would understand the governments of the world, not just ours, are trying to hide the truth. I've always been loath to believe that they truly know the truth themselves. So I'd love to get your weigh-in on that very, very briefly. Are we talking about governments that are trying to maintain a narrative as if it is the truth, where they may not know the truth, or do they have some insight with some of the beings themselves? And I know that's a loaded question, but let me get your thoughts on that.
Sure. Well, there's two types of government. We have the visible government, which is what we see on TV, which is the so-called elected officials, which aren't really elected. They're selected for those that know the truth. You know, everybody was groomed into the to positions of power by the secret societies. But we also have a shadow type of government that is about thousands of years ahead of the general public in technology. And it's within that private sector where they've been negotiating, signing treatises with different types of extraterrestrial races for over 80 years. So it's not a secret anymore. Of course, those that are in the awakened community and those that have been listening to the testimonies of whistleblowers over the last 20 years have an idea. And there's more to the story, of course. But what we do know is that, one, we were never alone in the universe. Two, the extraterrestrials have always been here. They're just operating on a different dimension. That's why we don't see them. They cloak themselves. And three, within the private sector, we have advanced technologies that will overnight overthrow the current by keeping it YouTube friendly, Edison and petrochemical companies. I don't want to say it, but you know what I mean, like the oil industries and all that stuff. All the stuff that we consume would be overthrown overnight if the public were to know about the free energy devices and the replicators and the med beds and all these other technologies, exotic technologies that only the elites keep for themselves.
This has been obviously bantied about for years, Ishmael, you know that, to a certain extent, and there are variations of this understanding. You know, we can talk, we can go back and talk about Tesla technology to Royal Rife and Oregon Energy, all of that stuff. So it is pretty ubiquitous within the, as you call it, the awakened community. You know what I want to do? We are going to the Patreon after show. I'm going to give this a plug right up front because I think I want to go a little deeper. As you said, we need to keep this venue friendly. And so maybe we can go dip our toes in the water a little bit deeper over on the after show if you're game for that. Because I do want to, the audience is probably tuned in to, they want to hear from you, but we want to talk about your near-death experiences. So let's continue that conversation. Is that a deal? Can we do that over on Patreon when we're done? Okay, cool. Because that's deep. That's a whole other ball of wax, right? We got a lot of stuff going on. But I believe a good deal of our audience would love to know more about what we call the near-death experience. It's still a very elusive experience that has been chastised by the mainstream as being nothing but illusory, and the evidence is far, far outweighs any skepticism that there's something beyond hallucination going on here. So you are a case in point. I know that you had, I believe, is it two separate near-death experiences? Yeah. One in which I believe involved a car accident in which you were on life support for a few weeks. Talk about that first, or whichever one you'd like to talk about. They're both profound, I'm sure. But give us a little background and take us through the experience a bit.
Sure. So back about maybe 16 years ago, I was involved in a very fatal car accident where I don't even know how I survived. But apparently this was back when I was still drinking. I don't drink anymore. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. And I haven't for over 15 years. So back then I was intoxicated. I was driving drunk and I hit a boulder, a big chunk, a piece of a mountain. And because I hit it so hard, I caused little pieces of the rock to fall on me. So that all these little rocks, I'm talking about boulders about this big, started hitting my car. So my car was smashed. So somebody did call 911. Apparently, thank God somebody saw that, because I was driving from Palm Springs in the middle of nowhere. It was in the desert area. And when they got there, this is based on the stories that I heard, that they couldn't find the car because there was so much gravel and so many rocks over it. So they had to use the jaws of life to try to break everything in half, break the car in half, because they couldn't find me. And then finally just saw fingers with blood. And they knew that was me. So they were able to take all that stuff off of me, all the debris. And then they pulled me out And my whole body was just, I was soaked with blood. I guess I lacerated my liver. I collapsed my lungs. Clavicle bone was broken. And I hadn't had oxygen for quite some time. So they tried to pump life into me. And, you know, they rushed me to the nearest hospital. And they put me on life support. You know, they said that, you know, we're going to eventually lose him. But, you know, we want to keep him alive as much as possible. So during that time, apparently I was on life support for about a couple of weeks. I was unconscious. I was completely unconscious. I didn't know where I was. And all of a sudden, I just remember being in a white room with two archangels, Michael and Gabriel. Michael and Gabriel were there with me. And Gabriel said, we should just let him transition. You know, he's been through so much already. And Michael says, no. He's got a divine mission. He hasn't yet fulfilled his purpose. We got to send him back. And it was like, I was just sitting there as these two archangels were just not arguing, but kind of debating back and forth if whether or not I should come back to my body. And I was just sitting there, and it was just a white room. It was a white room. And all of a sudden, I just remember being back in my body, feeling my body. I guess Michael won the argument in that case. And the first thing I said what is that thing? You know, what am I connected to? I guess I didn't know what life support was, but I had a breathing tube down my throat to help me breathe. I was plugged to different things that were just keeping me alive. But I guess I was in a state of a coma. So I came back, and the first thing I said when I opened my eyes was like, what is all this stuff? And then the doctor, I just heard the doctor said, oh my God, this man is a miracle. No one would have survived this. And the doctor was just perplexed. Like, how does stuff like this happen? Well, how do you explain the supernatural to a doctor who only believes in Western medicine? You know, it's impossible to explain that there are miracles. So that was one instance. So, you know, little by little, I recouped. It took me like 6 to 9 months to regenerate. My liver was lacerated. Only one third of my liver was still intact. The other 3/4 of my liver was destroyed, apparently, in this car accident. My lungs were, you know, slowly recuperating. My clavicle bone took about 7-8 months to repair. And then I had a few other things. But the whole point is, I was out for 2 weeks. I was in a white room with Michael and Gabriel, and then all of a sudden I came back to my body. But this is the thing, Alexis. It only seemed like it was 5 minutes where I was, but yet in the third D realm where everybody else was in the hospital, it was 2 weeks. Mm. How do you explain that? You know, that was the most weirdest thing ever. Okay, so 2 weeks passed, right? But yet it was only 5 minutes to me, since I remember being in the car and then being in the white room. 5 minutes ago, I was in the car. What do you mean it's been 2 weeks? I've been laying on this bed on life support for 2 weeks, and the doctor was like, yeah. I was like, what? How can that make any sense?
Well, you know, upon reflection, if I can just interject in terms of the wonkiness of time as we understand it, and those that have had transformative experiences like yours, we clearly, it seems, get to glimpse the construct of time versus, you know, actual time. There's simultaneous time. The fact is that time as we understand it does not work at all like we think. So you've had, I'm sure, many years to reflect on that fact. So does it make any more sense to you now?
Oh, yeah.
How 2 weeks and 5 minutes were really one and the same?
Yes, because where I perceived it to be 5 minutes, I was in a different realm with the archangels, where to them, time doesn't exist. It was just a 5-minute debate that him and Gabriel, Michael and Gabriel, were having of whether or not they should send me back. But yet in the 3D human time continuum, it was 2 weeks. So that's when as I plunged into quantum physics and learned more about superposition and the fourth dimension and how time is really non-existent and it's only a construct within the 3D, it just made more sense to me. Mm-hmm. But my first death experience was back in high school. I you know, we all explore with drugs in high school. Not all of us, but some of us do. Okay, I OD'd on LSD. I was only 18 years old, and I had tried LSD for the first time, and I took, I think, three what they call tabs, and I it just, my heart stopped. And all I remember was I was in the hospital and I was naked and my spirit was hovering. And that's how I knew my spirit left my body, because I could see the entire experience. I was watching, I was looking down on me. I was hovering like where the top of the ceiling is. And I saw the doctor and the nurses saying, we got to bring him back, you know, and they were pumping me with those shocks, those electric shocks. And on the third time, they brought me back. And all I remember was just I was hovering, and all of a sudden I snapped back into my body. And I woke up and I opened my eyes, and then I saw the doctors and the nurses. I was like, whoa, just a minute ago, I was up there hovering, watching me, you know, practically dead, because I also saw the line go,
you saw this.
I saw that line go, it was like, he's done. So I guess I'm not meant to die. But, you know, as I learned more and as I meditated, my spirit guides were telling me that every time I die and come back, I integrate more of myself. It's like a walking. I bring in more of my full consciousness into this avatar. And so they told me it was a form of initiation. Mm. It was all preconceptual. Like, I signed up for this even before I incarnated as a human being. I was like, I signed up for me dying twice and coming back. Everything is pre-planned. They told me, I was like, wow. I know.
Well, I'm glad you, let's stay on that for a minute, Ishmael, because I had planned on asking you what, you know, with all that you've acquired in terms of both your research as well as your inner sense, because I know you get a lot of downloads, you put these two experiences, very profound NDEs, on top of it, and you know, what was it that you were to glean from it? And you pretty much touched on that, to be able to integrate more of the, I would call it a primal or perennial consciousness of the soul into planet Earth. So let's talk about that a bit, because, you know, here's the deal. For some reason, and not for some reason, a very important reason, there are a lot of people, and I'm looking at the audience, that are interested in understanding the near-death phenomenon, the near-death experience. It has been, particularly in the last few years, really, really an intense subject that people are really tuned into. As a matter of fact, I have a coaching client. I do spiritual coaching, life coaching, I guess you could call it, and a client who I will not name said to me just the other day, I'm just really, really fascinated by the near-death subject and had been watching a lot of content around that lately. Ishmael, I don't think that's an accident, but I'd love to get your weigh in on, why do you think more people now, particularly, are finding something like a near-death experience so intriguing? Are they trying to understand what the inevitable for them is going to be like? What's triggering this right now, you think?
Well, I think that it all connects to this this huge upgrade that we are all undergoing. And in order to begin to use more of our untapped potential, more of our oversoul, which is our, like you call it, a primal consciousness, our divine consciousness, has to come into our bodies more so and more so every single time. So I believe that near-death experiences are ways in which we could bring more of that over self-consciousness or overall consciousness back into this body, mm-hmm. that consciousness that currently exists in higher dimensions. So that's my personal perspective. That's from what I've experienced, from what I've gathered, from what I've studied. I think, but it's also a huge phenomena. A lot of people are undergoing near-death experiences at this time. But then again, what if it also has to do with this transition between 3D and 5D? Again, you know, we are also dealing with a huge event that is going to cause the planetary ascension of Mother Gaia. So maybe it's all kind of intimately tied into the fact that we are approaching a rare pivotal point in history when it comes to Mother Earth as well. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think.
That makes sense to me for sure. I mean, I think if we zoom out and look at the broader subjects that are covered on channels like this and many others, thankfully, that we're starting to see emerge, you could say that people in general, I think, are just finding themselves more vested in the bigger questions and really, really trying to understand who and what they are and to what extent they can traverse these realms and are having these experiences, like you said. And we know that due to the advent of technology, good, bad, or indifferent, a lot more lives are being saved that would otherwise not be here. So that could very well be the case too. But I just found it very, very, very interesting. Let's go back into, I mean, both of them are profound. My gosh. And thank God you're here. Let's hope three is not a charm. Let's hope that you've integrated enough.
You know? I believe so. Yeah. My spirit guides told me that was it, you know.
Yeah.
I am now, well, they still need me to write another book. So there's going to be a third book that's going to be coming.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about that for a minute. We can kind of weave in and out and kind of keep the NDE in perspective as well. As you were writing Our Cosmic Origin, and you've got, so there's a second and then a third coming out, actually? Well,
the prequel to Our Cosmic Origin is this book right here. Where is it at? I'm sorry. This book right here. It's called The Secret Government. I actually wrote this book about 16 years ago. I published it. But back then, it was blacklisted because I revealed too much. The secret history of the cabal and the secret history of the White Hats, which I call the Brotherhood of Light. Mm-hmm. So this is a book that kind of just sheds light on how everything in our world was intelligently crafted by, you know, the masterminds of the secret societies. So I just republished it again, actually 3 weeks ago, which is a prequel to Our Cosmic Origin, because Our Cosmic Origin is more about the galaxy and the cosmos. This book is more about like the suppressed history of Earth based on the battle between the two brotherhoods, the Brotherhood of Light, which is the Melchizedek Order, and the Brotherhood of Darkness of the Babylonian Luciferian Order. So that's what my first book is about, which mm-hmm. was republished. But I'm going to be doing a third book, which is going to be a continuation to Our Cosmic Origin. And that book is going to go more into the future, because everybody knows that, okay, yeah, we're going to go into 5D Earth and we're going to be upgraded and we're going to have these beautiful light bodies and, you know, capable of telepathy and have these amazing powers. But what's going to happen after that? Well, the next book to come is going to be more about visions and transmissions that have been coming to me regarding what's going to be happening in the next few million years. So that's going to go into the future. Mm. Yeah.
So my question was, for each of these books, frankly, do you, and I don't want this to be a rhetorical question, but an honest answer, if you could give me, in terms of putting forth the material, do you feel that some of it, or maybe all of it, is channeled? What's the process like when you're, you know, putting pen to paper, so to speak, in writing these books? Because there's a lot of detail in both of them, I'm sure. Where's this coming from? And we can even connect the near-death experience. Do you think you were able to procure any intel, if you will, from that state? If you can answer both of those questions. If you're enjoying this episode, along with all of the subjects that we cover here on Higher Journeys, then I invite you to join our members-only community on Patreon, where we go even deeper into the conversations with the guests that you know and love. Not only does your membership ensure that we can keep this work going and growing, but you'll also get immediate access to our exclusive after shows. Get up close and personal with the guests of the show, along with many other member perks. So click on the link below to join now, or visit higherjourneys.com, where you'll find the Patreon link. We'll see you on the journey. Thanks.
Absolutely. I think the transmissions, I don't call it channeling, I call it transmissions from my galactic self. Because as multidimensional beings, we occupy different avatars on different realities and on different parallel Earths. And so I was able to access my galactic self, which is a 12-foot lion from Lyra, with a hominid body, lion of a face of a lion. And that's how Our Cosmic Origin came about. Mm-hmm. It was giving me the history of Lyra and the different, you know, which initiated, of course, the Galactic Wars when they were attacked by the reptilians of Orion. But yes, I believe that my near-death experience had a lot to do with me accessing different versions of myself in higher realities so that I could be able to transmit like data dumps, like transmit the information into the third dimension and write it into a book. However, the Secret Government, Invincible Architects, that was more just researched. Mm-hmm. I had to read over 150 literary works to kind of consolidate all that information into one book, explaining the history of these, you know, secret societies and so on. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you ever feel overwhelmed bringing in all of this information, whether you're covering the deep conspiratorial or the, you know, the awakening part of the story, which is a big part? Do you ever feel overwhelmed, Ishmael, in terms of the information you're transmitting or having transmitted to you?
Not at all. I mean, at first, I'm going to be honest, at first, when I was in my early 20s and I was getting my first transmissions, I didn't know where they were coming from. I thought I was going crazy. I was like, what the heck is this? Why am I getting these downloads? Like, where are they coming from? Am I tapping into something? What's going on here? So as I started meditating, I started realizing that I was just connecting with the Akashic realms. The Akashic records, the intergalactic records, by connecting with my higher self who has access to those records. And that's when I realized that I wasn't going crazy. And so, yes, no, it's never overwhelming. It's more of it's more like having a sense of responsibility to the world to, you know, bringing forth information that the collective will eventually need. Mm-hmm. And I've been receiving so much positive feedback for both books, especially our Cosmic Origin. People are just telling me that this book is triggering galactic memories of their own. And so to me, it's an honor to serve and to be here, you know, releasing and doing my part in the ascension, in the Great Awakening.
Well, Lord knows there are a lot of people that are, if they're not fully entrenched in the work, they're feeling an urgency, Ishmael. I think a lot of people are starting to get this sense of urgency that they too need to be whatever part it is they are to play. They want to get on with it, right? I mean, I had my own very intense transformative experience back in 2005 that I've talked a good bit about. And I ask about the overwhelm because I too was getting immense downloads, much of which I don't consciously recall, although I remember enough to, I think, what put me in the seat that I'm in right now doing what I'm doing, because I wasn't doing anything like it at the time. But I would get a sense of overwhelm because there was so much energy that was coming through. I did not know where it was coming from. I knew it wasn't coming from the conscious self, but I knew that I was somehow being asked to assimilate all of it. And there may be a reason why I don't consciously recall a lot of it, because it could be too overwhelming. I mean, it's like a lot of people that say that their contact encounters are so intense, they feel almost as if their physical bodies are going to explode. I've heard some people talk about it. You know, it could be something as like dizziness, sensations of dizziness, et cetera. Lots of different things that our avatars can't quite take yet. Let's talk about that for a little bit. I mean, we're kind of going all over the place, but how is it? Because what's coming in, whatever it is, and from whatever source, and for whatever reason, is intense. How can we best align ourselves so that we're not knocked off our you-know-what? Mm-hmm. Our physical beings still have to try to integrate this. What do you suggest?
I suggest stay grounded as much as possible. Every morning, ground yourself and set the intention. You know, monitor your thoughts. Be very mindful of the first few thoughts that come into your mind every morning, because that's going to set the sail for the day. Mm-hmm. And in a way, it contributes to the co-creativity or to the co-creation of the collective. But being grounded is key and foremost, staying in a high vibration. And people ask me, well, how do you stay in a high vibration? Well, it's very simple. You have to meditate. I don't care what, if you're religious or not, or if you believe in God or not, you have to establish some sort of a spiritual connection with the divine. The divine is very, very real. So as long as you have that ongoing relationship with the divine, whether you call it God, the higher power, the source, there's so many names to describe, you know, this thing that is everywhere at once, mm-hmm. That is conscious and aware. As long as you are building a relationship with that, you are keeping a high vibration. And most importantly, remember that not only your thoughts have frequencies, but your words.
Oh, yes.
You know, I stopped cursing years ago. I don't curse anymore. Your thoughts, your emotions, your words, your actions, they're all exerting a certain frequency.
No doubt. Yeah. I agree 100%. I do. Feelings in particular. We're right on the same page there. That is so key that, you know, we've been talking about some semblance of this for years, Ishmael, but people, I don't know, maybe they'll nod in agreement, but go on doing the same thing. And I mean, we are habitual creatures. I get that. But now more than ever, you know, kind of piggybacking on the question that you answered so well, because things are so intense, because we really have to keep a line of defense, you know, and be vigilant, because there's also opposition that's trying to it would seem that there's something out there that wants to not see us go where we're intended to go. So we've got to be very, very vigilant. So things like not just our thoughts. I talk for a living, right? So anything that we put out vocally has such an intense energy for sure. And it never goes away. It may not be audible forever, but it's going right into that Akashic. Absolutely. But feelings, emotion, I think are absolutely important. That can work for or against you. So I agree 100%. Let's talk a little bit about your family. I know I also heard you talk about your mom. I don't know if she's still with us or not. You talked about your mom and her having these abilities, if you will, psychic abilities that it would seem you took some from her. Talk a little bit about that. And then I want to get your thoughts on the intergenerational links when it comes to all of these sorts of things. Tell us about your mom first.
Sure. My mom was one out of 10 children, all women, nine aunts. I have nine aunts.
Wow.
And out of all of them, she was the one who inherited the beauty. She was very beautiful. The gifts, spiritual gifts. I guess this is generational because her grandmother had them. Her grandmother was a medium. Her grandmother was also inheriting those abilities from her mom. So it is in the genetics.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mother was very in tune. She had the sixth sense. She could foresee things before they happened. She could speak to spirits. She could speak to animals telepathically. And she was just really spiritual, really spiritual. So she told me I had the same gifts, but she also told me that I had a different gift because I'm an alien human hybrid. She said that my father wasn't human. She was used as a surrogate, her eggs, that is, to create a hybrid between the human race and the galactics, well, a certain race of galactics. And so I told her, so what does my father look like? And she said, oh, he's humanoid, but he's more of a light being. I was like, okay, interesting. So would you say he's more of an angel? And she said, yeah, your father is like an angel. I'm like, how can that be? How do angels impregnate humans? She goes, it's possible, but it's not through intercourse. It's differently. It's they impregnate the egg by embedding their essences and their energies. It's not through intercourse the way we see it. I'm like, oh, interesting. And that explains, you know, Mary's, the
Immaculate Conception.
Exactly. So this is actually ongoing. It's been ongoing throughout all history. And so she told me that because I am part human, part, as she would call light being, that I had a super intelligence. And so that because of that, I was going to be involved in a future, war against evil, and I was going to help millions of people, and that I was going to help in the restoration of Earth back into the greater galactic community. And she used to tell me this when I was a teenager. I didn't really quite grasp it back then. I used to honestly think she was probably a little off.
Really?
Back then, I was like, okay, Mom, you know, maybe she's telling me this because she wanted to make me feel good because I was always bullied in school and that was my way of making me feel good. I'm not sure. Tell me that I was unique and I had these gifts. But it wasn't until years later that I realized that, like, wait a minute, you know, my mother was right, because that's when I started connecting with my galactic self.
Well, this is interesting that you bring up the fact. Now, these are obviously for the layperson watching, or people that may have just tuned into this that don't typically listen to this material. You might be thinking, God only knows what. But I want to stay with this because I believe that people have profound experiences across the board and all manner of experience. You know, you talk about the near-death experience in which you saw what you perceived to be a five-minute conversation between Archangel Michael and Archangel Gabriel. How interesting that you should witness that and that they were somehow involved in you perhaps coming back or not. They are known as archangels. And what did your mother tell you? That there is, look, we use these terms, angels, alien, demon, shadow, whatever it may be, but the angelic presence and that of light, have you ever connected the dots there of the fact that you may be of that lineage, of an angelic lineage?
I am. She said that the being that impregnated her was an archangel. She didn't give me his name, but she said that that I am part human, part angelic. So I am an incarnating angelic. In other words, my spirit is angelic. That's what she told me.
Have you ever connected the dots as to why it was Archangel Michael and Gabriel that you saw in that NDE?
Perhaps one or the other is my father. I think it was Michael because Gabriel said, no, let him transition. And Michael said, no. There is a reason why I think he mentioned there's a reason why I impregnated his mother. And at that point, I was like, wait a minute. But I didn't, you know, I don't really share this with people.
You heard it here first, I think. I think we heard it here first.
This is the first time I've ever actually talked about that. But so
it came to mind, Ishmael. I mean, look, again, disclaimer. I'm not saying I believe or disbelieve, and I'm not expecting anybody else to either. And I don't even think it's about I believe or disbelieve. It's about the scope of the experience. And within the context of what you shared with me, the only thing I could think of is based on what your mother told you, juxtaposed with your NDE, there was a connection there. I've listened to a lot of NDE stories, and I don't know that I've heard of any experiencers that came in direct contact with archangels. Not to say that there haven't been. This is quite interesting. There may be a new track you need to, not a new track, but another spoke in the wheel you need to explore after we hang up, because I think this is pretty heavy. Wow. Wow. And I appreciate you sharing with us on that note. Where do we go from here? I've heard you talk about the fact that you never felt like you fit in to normal society. And of course, that's not original these days, because there's so many people that are feeling like I'm not from here. They're feeling like I don't fit in. So many. And I know a lot listen to our show. What would you say to some of those people that are feeling that way? What wisdom would you share with them?
That we're here to, you know, change the world for the positive. We're here to save the earth, and more so, we're here to save the organic way of life, because what happens on this planet is going to have repercussions everywhere, because there is a villain, there is this enemy that has been, you could say, that is considered an ultimate evil, and that is artificial intelligence. And one of the things that I was told is that the reason why, and my mother wasn't the only one, there were several others. We were part of a project called Project Oak Tree, which is an off-world extraterrestrial super ultra soldier program designed to, you know, fight an invasive AI, an ancient AI that has been unfortunately destroying many galaxies and in many universes. But the last battle against this AI, this ancient AI, which is remanifesting itself in the form of artificial intelligence, because it's emerging here in this planet as well, there is going to be one final war against artificial intelligence. And so I believe that people like myself and others that are different, whether you consider yourself a starseed, an indigo, a wanderer, it's all one and the same. Old soul coming into human form. There will be one final war against evil. And that evil is going to manifest in the form of AI. And it's already happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, AI certainly already is. And I don't mean just we're not just talking ChatGPT, folks. It goes a lot deeper than that.
Oh, yeah.
But you know where I'm most interested, no matter what? I'm interested in the human spirit and the resilience that we have in spite of all that we've been through. So much that has been kept from us, but we still manage to come back strong. And I've heard you speak about if only 10%, I've heard others say this, excuse me, as well, if 10% of the population decide to go in a certain direction, whatever direction, there is indeed a hundredth monkey sort of effect, or a butterfly effect even, that can shift the entire paradigm. And I think we're pretty close. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing. We've got a lot of good things happening. And a lot of emergence is happening in terms of recalling memory, as an example. Let's talk about that. We only have about 5 minutes left in the main show. And as promised, we are going to go to the after show and go into some of the little slightly more juicier stuff over there. So I hope you'll join us over there. But before we do close out in the main show, let's talk about recovering memory. Because I think a lot of what we're going through is about recovering memory, recovering mm-hmm. the memory of who we really and truly are, an indestructible, ultimately, force of consciousness and of love. Let's talk about reincarnation memories. You know, there's been a lot of debate about why the memories of our previous incarnations have been suppressed. What are your thoughts on that? And, you know, was this also part of a diabolical program? Where are we going with that?
Everything has purpose. You know, even evil has purpose. You know, there is a state of duality that we're all experiencing, but eventually that duality comes to an end as it collapses back into oneness, which is called the singularity, the organic singularity. But I believe that, you know, everything has a higher purpose, in a sense where when we embody, we have to forget. We have to forget who we were. Because if we didn't, if we remember that we are these divine eternal beings, then that would defeat the purpose of trying to really understand the limitations of being human and engaging in the human condition. The human condition is here to humble us, and it's here to remind us that you know, there is in a way it's here to trigger the great awakening within ourselves. Whether it's through trauma or whether it's through experiences that we have, eventually we have to make that return back to understanding that we're more than just these physical avatars, that we're actually in fact indeed spiritual beings having a human expression. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a journey that every single person has to undergo on their own. And everybody's on different levels of evolution, conscious evolution. It's not a physical evolution. It's an evolution of consciousness, by the way. So it's all pre-planned. You know, even our lives are pre-planned before we incarnate, who we marry, the kids that we have, the parents that we pick. It's all part of our educational purpose, you could say. So it's all designed for the greater growth of who we are in the higher dimensions. You know, this is just a temporary reality. And when you really, really think about it, we're actually dead up there when we come down here. You know, but when we transition from down here, we become alive up there again. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Wow. I don't think it's supposed to. I don't think it needs to make sense. What sense? To the left brain? None of this makes sense to the left brain, right, guys? Ishmael, that's a great note to end on for this segment. Thank you so much. Where can people find you? Where can people find more of you?
I do have a website. It's called ourcosmicorigin.com, just like the name of my book, Our Cosmic Origin. And you could find all my links to my social medias. I do have a free forum in which people could come and talk freely, no charge. I do go live on my YouTube, The Real Ishmael Perez, 3 times a week with updates, intel, galactic reports. And then, of course, if you guys want to order any of my books, The Secret Government, Invisible Architects, or Cosmic Origin, those are available on Amazon. But there is a direct link on my website to get those books as well.
Okay. We'll make sure to have links, of course, right? Ishmael Perez, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, indeed. And don't hang up. We're going to go next door real quick. We're going to do a short segment over there, go a little deeper. But I want to say, as always, thank you, Journeyers, for joining us for Higher Journeys. We will see you next time. Take care. Bye.